Welcome to the Totally Transformed podcast. My name is Lance Borden, and I'm here with my mom, Christian psychologist and author of Saved But Not Free, Dr. Connie Borden. How are you today?
Good. So great to be with all of you today.
Yes. Our friends listening, thank you so much for joining us today on the Totally Transformed podcast. We always pray before we do one of these, and we pray that the Lord will take our words and minister directly to your heart in whatever area you might need it. And the topic each time may not be specifically what you need, but for somebody, we pray that whomever would need it listens to it. And, you know, and the great thing about podcasts, of course, is that they're on demand and available to the world, which is pretty neat source of communication that we now have at our fingertips. So,
can I say something about that for a minute? One time, the Lord showed me that no matter what you teach, He takes it, the Holy Spirit takes it and individualizes it for the hearts that hear it.
Right.
So what you and I may think we're emphasizing,
somebody
will pick something up totally, which is so exciting.
It is exciting.
That God does that through the power of the Holy Spirit.
He's our personal Lord and Savior, right?
Yeah, He is.
And meaning that He personalizes everything to what we need. He speaks to us. Someone may hear this podcast and get something totally different is what you're saying. Someone may be driving down the street and see something happen and get a totally different lesson out of it than somebody else based on what the Lord's trying to do in each of our individual lives. And the amazing thing about the Lord that I think is so precious is that He is continually pursuing our hearts. He's continually pursuing your heart, those you that's listening to me today. He's pursuing my heart. He's pursuing your heart, Mom, continually. Like, He wants to, either to the point of salvation, if you're not saved, or once you are saved, to the point of drawing us deeper to know Him more. He just wants to be known and us to know Him, and He wants to know us. And there's no end to Him, which is amazing. Like, you can never arrive, if you will, knowing enough. Like, there's always more to know about the Lord, which makes it so sweet, makes Him so sweet, just in this pursuit of Him, you know?
I'm hearing a phrase, He takes us from one degree of glory to the next.
Yeah.
Because there's no way to know His fathomless love and character
which,
and knowledge.
Which ensures that it's never going to be boring, right? Like, it cannot, if you feel like you're bored with your Christian walk, that may be indicating something to explore with the Lord, because there is never a dull moment with Him unless we stop pursuing Him and seeking Him.
Well, I think when you get bored or you feel bored, like you just said, you can't stop. You got to find out why you feel that way.
Submit it to Him.
And don't then say, well, God is boring. The Word is boring. I think I'm done or whatever. And I think that's where a lot of people get, because the only thing He can't overcome is if you quit.
Yeah.
That's why a regular Bible reading plan and pursuit that keeps you on the road to upward trajectory is so important, right?
Yeah. So quit. I'm glad you said that word, because I think that's really what we want to talk about today is don't quit. Don't quit on whatever the purposes and callings are of the Lord in your life, and especially don't quit in the face of adversity until and unless, I mean, the Lord may release you at some point from something or some situation as you seek Him, but not allowing problems and challenges overtake us in our lives and debilitate us is something we wanted to address today.
So why would you, if you were in that situation, if you that are listening to us that are in that situation where you have problems or you're facing something and you just have quit or you want to quit, why do you think you get there?
Well, so I think it's a human nature thing. I think when we face challenges and problems, or if we go through something hard or difficult, our flesh wants to seek comfort above most things, right?
Yes.
We'd rather say, this is too hard. I want to go sit on the couch and watch TV or curl up in bed and go to sleep and escape, right? I experienced that when I was in military school. It was a challenge. Challenge is an understatement for me at the time, a real crucible in my life. one of my go-tos at the time was sleep.
Yeah.
I would want to go sleep more than I should or take naps or whatever during the day because it was an escape. I could shut off my life, so to speak. But then you wake up and you're in the same situation again, right? So it's only a momentary relief that doesn't solve anything other than maybe give you some rest.
However you went to sleep. I mean, some people go to drugs. Alcohol.
No, yeah. Yeah, you know. I mean, there are worse things to go to, but escapism is something that is a problem for us as humans, whether that be alcohol, drugs, sex, things that distract us from our problems when, you know, our problems are often there in order to shape us and mold us into who God wants us to be and how, in his pursuit of us, I believe he puts things in our path to force us to him, right?
Yeah, but so why do you get to the mentality? Why does anybody? What do I get to the mentality that I would rather escape through whatever form you choose, rather than I can handle this problem, I can take on this problem, it's good for me. What causes that demise?
I think it's because it's easier.
Easier.
It's easier to escape or just walk out than it is to face the problem and work on a solution.
But why don't we believe that's better for us?
Well, if we stopped and thought about it, we would. But it's easier to just shut off and escape.
Yeah.
And quit, right?
Yeah.
That's easier in the moment than I'm going to buckle down and solve the problem or seek the Lord for the solution to this problem or do whatever work I have to do to solve this problem. It's easier to sweep it under the rug and hope it goes away on its own.
But do you think it's because we believe that it will not have a positive outcome?
Oh, yeah. No, I think that's definitely there. I think fear of failure is big. Fear of the unknown and worrying that, well, I'm worried that if I face this problem, it's only going to get worse and I'm just not going to solve it anyway. So why even try?
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, it all goes back to really security in the Lord, feeling loved, that he'll never leave you or forsake you. And he doesn't allow anything in your life that if you're seeking his will, that doesn't trickle through his fingers, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But that's pretty hard to, I think some people get confused by Satan because they go, well, God wouldn't allow that, or God wouldn't do that, or why would a loving God do that? So they're dismissing his outcome for you, which is to be a man or woman of more character, depth, anointing, rather than this is just too hard. And besides, many of these things come from Satan rather than God, right?
Yeah. And I think that understanding requires a fundamental faith that God is good and he wants what's best for us. And Jeremiah 29:11 says his plans are to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. We go straight to the harm, right?
Yeah.
We're like, why is this happening? God is, you know, God or life or people are harming me rather than, okay, I receive that. It's almost like fielding a ground ball. I've used that analogy before in baseball. The ball's hit really hard at you. You can get out of the way and let it go through to the outfield or you can stand in front of it and knock it down. Well, that might hurt a little bit, but it helps you get the out. You know, to knock down the ball and throw it to first base. It's a challenge.
I think, you know, you mentioned this just briefly, but I think we have to present a balance here because quitting, as you said something about that unless it's impossible, there are some situations where you're in relationship with people or a situation where somebody is not dealing or not, you know, doing it God's way or however you want to say that, that he then leads you away. We always hate to see that when we see the evidence of that in different scenarios that we have. I see it quite a bit in marriages where there's not cooperation with one of the spouses and they've gotten over into an addiction. So someone has to choose between abuse or quitting the marriage, which is really some of the hardest decisions that anybody could make, is my health or my wealth or my well-being mental health going to be compromised if I stay in a situation with this person. And then the other thing I know we're not saying, and I want to make this clear, there has to be a balance between recreation and setting your mind on other things other than the problem. Or, I don't know, I think probably I would suffer in my lifetime from taking more of the hard road, or feeling that the hard road is the best road all the time. And I don't think that's the case either. So there's lots of ins and outs of how people think about this stuff. Like, if I'm not having a hard time or taking the hardest route, then I'm not growing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I hopefully we're challenging people to get in touch with what they're thinking about. Think about what you're thinking about.
Well, and the tiebreaker to me is taking it to the Lord, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. What is the Lord saying?
Exactly.
And I think sometimes we're afraid to take it to the Lord because we're afraid what he might say. Right?
And oftentimes when you do, he's more kind, tender, and gentle, loving than you are to yourself.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's whether you think you're in the hands of a ruthless, non-caring God, which often comes from your mentality of other deeper relationships, human relationships in your life. What is your perspective of God's character? Then he will say, oh, don't do that anymore. You don't have to do that anymore. You put up with that long enough, or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So what is he saying is key. And, you know, oftentimes I'll hear the Lord say, I'm in it with you. You know, I've called you to this.
Yeah.
You know, which is really encouraging to my heart and needed when I'm facing a challenge, to hear that the Lord is in it with me, that he's, you know, because I think we look around ourselves sometimes and we feel alone facing whatever it is we're facing, but we're not alone. If we've trusted in Jesus, he is literally, you know, Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me.
Right.
So the evil is there.
Right.
Right. It's not dismissing or denying that evil is around us. It also says in that chapter, he makes a table, he prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. So it's interesting how God acknowledges through his word, the problem doesn't necessarily just go away because we come to God with it. He provides for us in the circumstance
right.
to be able to go on
right.
within the circumstance. And, you know, his purposes are not always revealed in the moment, but I think most of us can say, looking back on things we faced that were challenging, that we see why we were in that, or at least it makes more sense why he brought us through it. Because I believe nothing's ever wasted in God's economy.
Well, you learn so much from the negative and the positive. You know, it's not all the mountaintops, it's the valleys too. But you made another good point. You said, can you know in the darkness what God told you in the light, which is what is my phrase. In other words, did you go to God to begin with about the path, or was this your own path that you walked out and therefore it's not going well because it's your own path? Which, you know, I don't know that you can, if your heart is, God, let me do your will, I'm surrendered to your will, I'm not sure that that would be the case. But a lot of people build their own domains or kingdoms for different reasons, particularly if you're wounded. And then when it's not working out well, sometimes they blame God, you know?
Yeah.
So we're just talking about all the different scenarios that someone that we're speaking to may be going through in their mind when things are not going well. I think what we want to fall down on or arrive at is that God is for you. He's not against you. And if God is for you, who can be against you if you keep trusting him no matter what, right?
Right. You know, there's a great story in the Bible that many of us are familiar with, the story of the life of Joseph. And you brought this up, I think, last time. But in Psalm 105, starting in verse 17, and this is in the Amplified Classic version, it says, he sent, speaking of the Lord, he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold as a servant. His feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in chains of iron, and his soul entered into the iron, until his word to his cruel brothers came true, until the word of the Lord tried and tested him.
Amen. Yeah.
And you had a real revelation about that that I think we touched on last time, but share that again in relationship to what this set of verses is talking about.
Well, when I saw that in that psalm that you're reading, it just struck me. Iron entered his soul. You know, natural analogies there. He was in prison, iron bars, iron fetters on his feet. But what I got was that he was tried and tested because, as you know, he was left there several times when he was supposed to get out, when he interpreted the dreams of the baker and so forth, and never was taken out, or was eventually, but he rose to the occasion of leadership even in the jail. But no doubt about it, he was there because his own brothers threw him in a pit, and he was sold into slavery to the Egyptians and under the authority of Pharaoh from his Israelite heritage. So he went through, I mean, our own Pastor Robert does a series on the testings of Joseph, like 10 or 12 P's, like purity, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But what I got out of it is that, you know, it really entered his soul. Soul is a very key word to me in the Bible, because I believe the soul is the mind that thinks, imagines, and remembers the will and the emotions.
Well, and actually it says his soul entered into the iron.
Correct.
But the circumstance, to your point, is that the challenge basically was strengthening to his soul, clearly, for what he was being prepared for.
Right. Nonetheless, it was very difficult. It feels like a difficult analogy there because, you know, if you really think of iron entering your soul or the vice versa, however you want to look at it, it's not fun.
Well, and it could be, you know, the word picture could be that it's almost that his soul was aligning with the iron.
Yes.
Right. And the strength of the iron that was outside of him, his soul was aligning with that, and in the strength that he gained from the circumstance.
Yeah, and then the beauty of the word is we get to see the outcome. So in Genesis 50, the very brothers that threw him in the pit, where he probably wanted to murder them much along the lines of those years when he thought of them, he actually saved them. And it says in Genesis 50, verse 19, when the brothers were then getting grain from Egypt because there was a famine in Israel and he supplied all this for them, they were very afraid when they found out it was Joseph because they thought he was dead or never see him again, told his father, Jacob, that he was dead and eaten by a lion and, you know, even lied to the point where they took his clothes with blood on them, and which really Jacob really wept and grieved all of his life. He only had one other son, Benjamin, that he was his favorite, but then he called Joseph his favorite at the very beginning at 17, which probably made a jealousy situation with his brothers. But Joseph replied in Genesis 15, 19, "Don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. No, don't be afraid. I'll continue to take care of you and your children." So he reassured them by speaking kindly to them. I mean, what a transformation of a heart when you've been completely offended and done harm to. To me, that's what the iron entered his soul, or he entered the iron, whatever means, is right. that trial brought him to a point of being able to forgive and provide for those very people that wanted to do him harm.
Right.
And actually, when you look at this, if you always look at Satan working through people rather than the people themselves, you know, Satan goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness. Then you see it was Satan that was motivating his brothers and trying to destroy Joseph's life and destiny. But he couldn't, because he was God's man and he kept trusting God, which is what we're trying to say, that when you're going through these things, who are you trusting?
Right.
The circumstances or God, right?
Right. Because you ultimately, know, again, if you take it back to the Lord, He is going to help you in the circumstance and give you what you need mm-hmm. to overcome, or at least get to the other side, right?
Yeah, not be bitter. You're better. Not return evil for evil,
right?
But return good is what Joseph's story says more than anything to me.
Yeah. Yeah, we tend to go to, or at least I'll speak for myself, I tend to go to when something negative happens or a challenge happens, you know, we tend to go to the worst case scenario, kind of like we were talking about a little while ago. And it's really in fear, really.
Yeah.
Feeling like almost like the world's coming to an end, right?
Yeah.
Because of this one thing. But if you step back from it and put your affection on the Lord, set your eyes on Him, your heart on Him, which Colossians 3 talks about, that can completely change your perspective. And that's really the perspective that we have to have, is, you know, looking to the Lord and having His eyes on the situation and realizing that this life is short, you know, this too shall pass.
Yeah.
But what does God want me to get out of it?
Right.
You know, what is He doing with me in this situation that's for the future, or what is He doing in my life that I can glean from it?
And there's many examples in the Bible where people ran, you know, like, excuse me, the prophet ran from
Jezebel.
Jezebel, mm-hmm. and went to the side of the desert to rest, and the angels came to minister to him. I mean, you know, things can be overwhelming, and you have to back up and take time. But I think summarizing what you're saying here in 1 John 4:18, it says, there's no fear in love. Dread does not exist, mm-hmm. but perfect, complete, full-grown love drives out fear, because fear involves, this is the Amplified, of course, the expectation of divine punishment. You know, I think that's really key, because we feel like God's against us, when I don't think He's against us. He was human, and He knows what these challenges are like. He knows when you're doing your best. So the one who is afraid of God's judgment is not perfected in love, has not grown into a sufficient understanding of God's love, which goes back to our first exhortation. You can never know him enough, as you said in Colossians, I think it is, the height, the depth, the width, the all the dimensions of His love, which takes pursuing Him. Like you said, it takes pursuing Him, because if you don't feel loved by God, potentially it's because you're projecting again on Him someone else you don't feel loved by. And that's why you fear, because you don't feel secure, in a nutshell, right?
Yeah. And another scripture that comes to mind is Psalm 112, that's talking about the righteous. It says, starting in verse 5, life is good for the one who is generous and charitable, conducting affairs with honesty and truth. Their circumstances will never shake them, and others will never forget their example. They will not live in fear or dread of what may come, for their hearts are firm, ever secure in their faith. Steady and strong, they will not be afraid, but will calmly face their every foe until they all go down in defeat. How's that for a summary?
Yeah. Right.
Of how we're supposed to, how we can live.
And you know, another version says they'll slink away, their hopes thwarted, which gives a denotation of a snake. You know, they're motivated by Satan. But our challenge is, it's really pretty simple. If you're saved, if you've really accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are His. And He loves you and protects you and looks out for you. But there's this other mentality, particularly when we grow up. I know we're talking to people potentially all over the world, but in the United States of America, or in countries that are not third world or having a lot of problems financially, you always are on this achievement quest. Like, mm-hmm. I got to do bigger, better, more.
Yeah.
Or the ball's going to drop, or
right.
what's the saying?
The shoe's
going to drop.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that we ever get from each other or our society, because it's all about looks and money, wealth, the next achievement, that we're good just the way we are.
Yeah.
We are human beings, not human doings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that plays in.
Right.
Because if you have something that you're going through that's hard, particularly if you were part of creating that hardness, then you tend to look at yourself through those eyes rather than God's eyes of love, which I just don't think we, as the verses say, that we could ever know is love enough,
right?
Or feel it enough, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, I think we wrap up here for this podcast, this Totally Transformed podcast. Our hope is that you drew strength from the scripture that we read today and the points that we were making, because we can relate to challenges. We go through them just like you do. So let's close in prayer and ask the Lord to minister specifically to the hearts of everyone that's listening to this today.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this podcast, Lord, where we can declare your word. Lord, we thank you for the strength of your word that we just read in Psalm 12, the example of Joseph that you gave us through your word, to understand, God, that you take us through things, you walk with us through hard things with the desire for us to overcome and grow in our strength and grow in you for the purposes you've called us to. So I pray that you would minister encouragement to every heart that's listening to this today, to pursue you, to look to you in the midst of their circumstance, no matter what they're going through, to pursue your purposes, to declare your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, as Jesus taught us to pray. And Lord, we thank you for the challenges we face, because we know you're training us up for greater and greater things in you.
Yes.
And that our worth is settled in you, Jesus. You mm-hmm. proved our worth when you died on the cross for our sins, Lord. You wanted us to live together with you forever, even before we existed, Lord. You made that plan for us and you paid that price so we could live with you forever and we could walk with you with the Holy Spirit in this life that you gave us.
Thank
so
you,
we
Lord.
Thank you for that, God, and we ask yes. you to minister specific words of encouragement and love to each and every heart that's listening to us
thank
today.
You, Jesus.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you for joining us today on the Totally Transformed podcast. Wherever you are and whatever you're doing, we encourage you to look to the Lord. He is the author and the finisher of your faith, and he will help you in your circumstance. Come back next time to the Totally Transformed podcast. We'll talk to you then.